This morning on Wake Up With Hope, the incredible journey returns. Taj Potluck takes us on another adventure, and we'll have an inspiring devotional from Pastor Mark Finley.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope.
Happy Friday, friends.
Yes.
It's World Pasta Day. And this day was first celebrated about 30 years ago when experts from around the world came together to discuss the versatility of noodles and decided a day to celebrate was necessary.
Did you know that pasta comes in over 600 shapes?
Wow.
Wow. Known to mankind. And their names are usually Italian words that are delightfully descriptive of their shape. Did you know that? For example, spaghetti. Do you know what spaghetti means?
What?
Cord.
Hmm.
It makes sense, cord. Vermicelli means?
Little worms.
Little worms. Rotini means spirals. Fettuccine means small ribbons.
That is so interesting. While Italian food made pasta famous, other foods such as Chinese chow mein and German spätzle have also made people enjoy pasta even more. So whether it's Chinese chow mein or spaghetti, celebrate World Pasta Day and enjoy the versatility of the noodle God has given.
Yes, and speaking of God providing, you know, the main thing He wants to give us is hope. Hope in Jesus. And we want to share that with you this morning. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in the year 1881, Pablo Picasso, one of the greatest and most influential artists of the 20th century, was born in Malaga, Spain. Picasso's work includes more than 50,000 paintings, drawings, engravings, sculptures, and ceramics created over the course of 80 years, categorized into several overlapping periods.
You know, just like Picasso's paintings went through periods, so too we find ourselves and our lives seem to go through different phases. You know, we have ups and downs, and it's often easier to find joy when things are up and everything is going seemingly well and undisturbed. However, when things start to go downward, in a downward spiral, you know, we lose a job or a loved one, our financial situation is unstable, you know, our relationships are suffering, we find it more difficult to laugh and enjoy life. But Jesus came to give us an abundant life, not just in good times, but also in the bad times. You see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Rejoice evermore." Isn't this an insensitive command? You know, rather, no, it's a promise. It's a promise that He is consistently and constantly blessing us. And when we look to Him and His incredible work on our behalf, and now He has promised to carry us through, there's always something we can smile about.
Amen. I love the smile on your face this morning. Dr. Narada McKibben from Go Healthy for Good joins us now to share today's segment of Health News.
In the headlines today, cancer cut by veggies, increased by red meat, plant-based diet and fasting for longevity, and higher antioxidants linked to lower dementia. A couple of new studies have found that high consumption of vegetables paired with a low consumption of red meat lowers the risk for developing certain cancers. The study of red meat consumption comes out of northeastern Iran, and they tracked 50,000 people aged 40 to 75 for 12 years. During that time, 370 developed esophageal cancer, and the same number developed stomach cancer. Those in the highest quartile of red meat consumption had a 25% increased risk over those in the lowest quartile. The study monitoring veggie consumption involved over 470,000 people and found that those with the highest rate of veggie consumption were one-third less likely to develop liver cancer. So protect yourself from cancer by sliding the red meat off your plate and adding a generous serving of vegetables. You'll save money and your health. There's a wealth of studies on the impact of diet on aging. Sometimes they produce contradictory advice, and others are so focused they don't give a balanced picture. So recently, researchers analyzed hundreds of studies in an effort to reach a consensus. They concluded that the best diet for longevity includes a diet rich in legumes and whole grains that's either purely vegetarian or vegetarian with fish, and no red meat or processed meat. When they broke it down to macronutrients, they recommended 30% of calories from vegetable fats like nuts or olives and olive oil. For protein, they suggested keeping intake low but sufficient until age 65 and then increasing it after. Of course, sugar and refined carbs should be kept to a minimum. The pattern of eating should include 12 hours of fasting overnight and confining meals to the other 12 hours of the day. They also recommended short-term periods of fasting. So in summary, eat a plant-based diet rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains and nuts with periods of fasting. Isn't it remarkable that medical science confirms the diet that God gave us in the Garden of Eden to prolong life? The American Association of Neurology recently published a study on the relationship between antioxidants and dementia. The study found that people with high levels of antioxidants, lutein and zeaxanthin and beta-cryptoxanthin in their blood had lower risk of dementia decades later. The study included 7,200 people who had blood antioxidant levels checked at the beginning of the study. They were then tracked for an average of 16 years. Authors suggest that further studies are needed to test whether adding these antioxidants can help protect our brains from dementia. I suggest we go directly to the source and get our lutein and zeaxanthin from green veggies like broccoli, peas and spinach, and our beta-cryptoxanthin from papayas, oranges and tangerines. I'm Dr. Monerita McKibben, and that's today's health news.
The Pro Heart Gallery is one of the most popular tourist attractions in the outback town of Broken Hill. It's chock full of paintings and artwork. Let's analyze a well-known painting of a dragonfly as we discover an important life lesson on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
The Pro Heart Art Gallery is one of the most popular tourist attractions in the outback town of Broken Hill. It's chock full of his paintings and artwork. This painting of a dragonfly is one of the most well-known and famous pieces. It's interesting how Pro came to paint the image of a dragonfly. He was actually watching ants going about their work. He saw them busily working on a dead dragonfly and carrying it bit by bit to their nest. So it was the ants that first captured his attention and interest, which he connected to the wisdom found in the Bible book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 6. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and be wise. We can learn a lot from nature and ants in particular. Here are some important characteristics of ants. One. Ants are diligent and hardworking. They can teach us the value of hard work. Ants are never lazy. Laziness only encourages us to procrastinate and become apathetic. Ants aren't poor or hungry either. They are continually working. If we strive to be diligent and work hard, our lives will also be blessed physically, spiritually, and financially. Point number two. Ants have a can-do attitude. They are self-motivated. Their small size and location on the ground doesn't limit them. They make no excuses and continue with the business of getting things done together. They are disciplined self-starters and work for the common good. Point three, ants have excellent strategic planning, precision, and organization skills. Ants can teach us the necessity of planning ahead. They store their food during seasons of plenty so that they will have adequate amounts in the lean times. Point four, ants are the masters of teamwork and unity. Ants know that they can accomplish more by working together than by working alone. They set goals and work together to achieve it. Ants are truly inspirational. And we sure can learn a lot from them, as suggested in the Bible.
On today's Reflections of Hope episode, Taj Pahlib takes us to a place where every visitor can only enter by making a special promise and pledge, sealed in every passport. This episode explores the lessons of that passport pledge that grants access to the beautiful Palawan paradise. Let's watch.
Over the years, we've had the awesome privilege of traveling and exploring so many amazing places in our world. From the dry plains of the African desert to the jungles of Asia. From the tiny islands of Polynesia to the big cities of America. Deep down under in Australia to the otherworldly scenes of Iceland. From the Middle East of Lebanon to the Far East of Japan to the wild, wild west of Waianae. From the ancient cities of Europe and to the modern tech cities of California's Silicon Valley. And in each place, we've met incredible people and seen amazing things. But of all the places the Lord has taken us, none is quite like the Micronesian island of Palau. Located in the western Pacific Ocean, Palau has over 300 islands scattered across over 170 square miles. And there are no adjectives to adequately describe the breathtaking beauty and captivating charm of this island chain. With perfect weather, peaceful waters, and hospitable people, Palau is truly one of a kind. It is one of the most magical and magnificent places on the earth, a place that has caused us to feel very close to heaven. As a sanctuary of refuge for marine wildlife, Palau is one of the few remaining places on Earth that hasn't been exploited and corrupted by the greed of mankind. Its strict environmental and conservation laws has enabled the marine life to flourish. In fact, it's the first shark sanctuary in the whole world. And taking the role as the white blood cells of the sea, healthy sharks equal a healthy ocean. This is definitely a place for visitors to come to see God's creation in its close to original perfection. Seeing the natural balance of the ecosystem and the intricate aesthetic design of every living thing, it's hard to imagine how all of this could happen by random chance. For intelligent design necessitates an intelligent designer. And the deeper you go and the closer you look, the more clearly you see the unmistakable evidence of intelligent design. Design that is calculated to draw you to the divine designer that made all things for us to enjoy and preserve. Palau is actually the first nation on Earth to change its immigration laws for the cause of environmental protection. It is the only country that requires its visitors to sign a passport pledge committing to preserve the beauty of this island paradise. The pledge reads, "Children of Palau, I take this pledge as your guests to preserve and protect your beautiful and unique island home. I vow to tread lightly, act kindly, and explore mindfully. I shall not take what is not given, and I shall not harm what does not harm me. The footprints that I leave are only those that will wash away." Reflecting upon these reasonable words, I'm convicted that the Palau Pledge ought to be the vow of all humanity for the whole world. For the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And in the beginning, God has given this world to mankind to dress it and to keep it. We are called to be good stewards over what God has entrusted to us. In fact, God is so serious about this injunction, the Bible says that God will destroy those who destroy the earth. And tragically, that's exactly what humanity has done. Through materialism and greed, pollution, and an apparent disregard of the earth's limited resources and beauty, we have damaged God's green earth. And God will hold us accountable for what we have done to this world, both individually and corporately. So today I call upon you to take the Palau Pledge. Go ahead and make the Christ-like commitment to tread lightly, act kindly, and explore mindfully. Do not take what is not yours. Do not harm that which does not harm you. Live to give of yourself, your time and your talents and your treasures to protect and preserve life. Not only wildlife, but human life. Take only pictures and leave only footprints. And as you do, you will not only be honoring your marvelous maker, but you and future generations will be able to see more clearly the power, wisdom, and beauty of the divine designer through the things that he has made. Now, you may never have the opportunity to come to the earthly paradise of Palau in this life. That may be beyond your reach and beyond your budget. But what is within your budget and within your reach is the free gift of God's grace, grace that's freely offered to each and every one of us. And today, if you will reach out the hand of faith and receive it, you can have the assurance that you will make it one day to the heavenly paradise above.
When we return, we're going to have today's devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley.
Don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to take a look back at recent episodes and see what else we have going on here at Hope Channel. And subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss a beat of what we have going on. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. It's now time to join Pastor Mark Finley as he shares today's devotional thought.
There were tears in her eyes when she came to me. She was concerned about her children. She said, "Pastor, I must have done something wrong when I raised them. I brought them up to know Jesus, brought them up to go to church. But you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. I must have done something wrong." Let's go back and look at that text with new eyes. Let's look at it with fresh eyes. And let me share with you the counsel, the guidance that I gave to that woman. Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." Now, this expression, train up, you see, a lot of people think, well, here's a promise that God gives to us. And if I have a child that goes astray, that when they're an adult, they no longer desire to follow Christ, I must have done something wrong in the training up process. Because it says, train up a child in the way he'll go. That's a promise now. And when he's old, he won't depart from it, but my child departed. This expression, train up, is an interesting expression. It's an old Arabic phrase that literally can be translated, rub the gums. Rub the gums. What's that all about? It's the story of Hebrew mothers teaching their children to nurse. When a Hebrew mother was trying to teach her child to nurse, there were times that the child would have a very difficult time nursing. So the Hebrew mother would get a little vial here, little wooden cup, and carved out, and they'd put a little water in it, and they would mix date paste in that water. And then mother would put her finger in that date paste in the water and get a little bit of that sugary date paste on her finger and put her finger in the child's mouth. So the child then would begin, you know, sucking. She would teach the child to suck. And as she did, the child then would learn to feed at her breast. What is this text saying? Rub the gums of your child. Sometimes the mother would rub the gums with this little date paste so the child would get used to it. In other words, what this text is saying is, put a spiritual taste in your child's mouth. And when they are old, they will never forget it. Rather than being a discouraging text, this is an incredibly encouraging text. Because what it really says is, put this taste in your child's mouth. Now, your child's going to have choices. Your child may choose not to come to church. They may choose to walk away from Christ. But the taste you put in their mouth as a child will always be there. That taste will never go away. And even if that child, through their own choice, because you can't manipulate their choice, God couldn't manipulate Adam and Eve's choice in the Garden of Eden, could he? Even if they make the wrong choice and walk away, they're always going to have that spiritual taste. There is always going to be that inner longing for something spiritual, and God can use that to bring them back. Jewish mothers understood this. They understood the necessity of putting a spiritual taste in their children's mouth. From the time the child was young, Mama would begin to sing what was called the Shema to them. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, the Lord our God is one. And these Jewish mothers would sit and they would rock their children and sing to them, the Lord our God is one Lord, the Lord our God is one. And this would be anchored in the child's mind. The story is told that during the Second World War, many Jewish parents, of course, in Germany and in many of the countries that Hitler attacked and overthrew, many of these Jewish parents were taken and put in prison camps and died. To protect their children, they placed them in orphanages, and many of them went into Catholic orphanages. At the end of the war, these children were orphans. And Jewish rabbis would go to the orphanages to try to identify the Jewish children. But many of the priests would not allow them to enter the orphanage. They would say, you need papers to show the name of the child. Well, of course, those papers were destroyed during the war. On one occasion, some rabbis came to one of these orphanages. The priest refused to let them in. He said, we have no Jewish children here. Approve it. And they, of course, didn't have the papers. And they said, well, what about the names? These are Jewish names. No, they're similar to Polish names, and you can't prove that without the documentation. And so the Jewish rabbis went to the American commander who was in charge of that area, and he told them the story. And they said, well, let's go back. And so they went back to the orphanage, and these Jewish rabbis said, can we just walk through? So the priest allowed them to walk through. And the rabbi began to sing the Shema, this Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 called the Shema. He began to sing, the Lord our God is one Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord. And a little child over here, you know, 2 years old, begins to cry. Mama, mama. A seven-year-old over here begins to cry. Mama, mama. And the rabbi said, that one is one of mine. That one is one of mine. That one is one of mine. Why? Because the parents had built into their children at a very young age the principles of the kingdom of God. And even in captivity, even through the devastating effects of war, these children never forgot what was in their mind. I want to encourage you today. There's somebody watching, wake up with hope that you've become discouraged. You've raised your children to know Jesus, but they've drifted away. That longing, that spiritual longing is still in their heart. You have rubbed their gums, if I can say it that way. You have placed within them a desire for spiritual things. And the Holy Spirit can use that desire. The Holy Spirit can move upon their hearts. The Holy Spirit can bring them back. Do not give up hope. Continue to pray for those children that do have that spiritual longing in their heart, just like those Jewish children who never forgot that Shema, the Lord our God is one God. Even in captivity and bondage, they remembered that. Even without their parents, they remembered that. There's some boy, some girl, some son, some daughter at this very moment that has drifted away, but the Holy Spirit is stirring their heart. They're remembering what you taught them. They're remembering the Bible stories that you read to them. They're remembering the Sabbath school that you brought them to. They're remembering some hymn that's sung at home. They're remembering Friday nights at home where the family gathered together to seek God in prayer and you had a special meal. They're remembering all those things. You have created a spiritual desire in their heart. Now pray. Now ask God to nurture that desire. Now ask God to stimulate that desire to bring them back to the God of their childhood, to bring them back to the Christ who loves them and dies for them. Don't give up. Keep praying and praying and praying.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. What a reviving message.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week together, so don't forget to join us on Monday at 7 a.m. We'll have a devotional from our friends at Voice of Prophecy, music from Don Singh, a recipe from Gia and her team, and more.
Now, don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
And we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise with you. And today's Bible promise says,
trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5.
What a great and powerful promise. Trust in Him, do good, and He will provide, friends.
Amen. Well, we truly pray you have a great weekend, and we can't wait to see you on Monday.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord. Today we looked for you, and you answered. You revealed yourself through all these beautiful things that we've learned today. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the devotional message. Thank you for hope. And we pray, Lord, that as we walk with you and trust in you, that you will understand us, that you will give us the desire of our hearts as we put our faith in you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.